I was going to tell you that as I was getting this morning, this teaching together, because we're doing one sermon over 3 weeks, and we got the first part last week, and that's why if you look at your notes right now, you'd say, Mike, you're starting at point number 6, and that's not true. So what I'd like to have is everybody have an outline. If you don't have an outline, put your hand up. You need one, because by the time we get through next week, we'll be on point 22, and I'm not even kidding about that. So please, everybody got an outline? Okay, good. And you got the table in front of you so you can make notes. But as I was getting this ready this morning at 4:35 o'clock, I started to think about an old memory that I have. And it had to do with a dog that we owned that was the family dog. And I don't talk much about him, but it was a true love affair. All right, maybe I do talk a lot about him. But anyway, it was a true love affair between man and beast. Never before has man and beast been as close as I was with this dog. 100-pound Dalmatian who looked at me all the time with loving eyes. And I'm not exaggerating. That's the way the relationship was. So much so, listen to this. I would get up to speak back then at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he'd get up with me. Could have stayed in bed. He did sleep with us. 100-pound dog, by the way, is like having another person there, all right? And so what would happen is he would get up with me. I'd feed him. And I'd go sit on the couch with my cup of tea. And he'd come sit right next to me, which I thought was incredibly cool because early on in his life, he was really sharp-minded. And so when I was stuck on a point, he'd whisper in my ear, and I get it now. Thanks, Dion. And I could preach that point. But in all seriousness, listen to this. What he started to do as he aged, he had a hard time, like the apostles with Jesus, could you not watch with me this hour, okay? He had a hard time sitting there while I was studying. And so what he would do is he would lean against me. And that's okay. But then the lean turned into more of a lean to where he put his head on my shoulders at the perfect height. And then what he would do is he'd go back to sleep. So he'd be snoring on my shoulder. And when my wife got up, she'd see me sitting on the couch, the dog laying against me with his head on my shoulder, snoring. And she's like, what's up with you two? I said, I don't know. You know, just really close. But I watched him do something. You wonder, where's this going, Mike? I watched him do something that reminds me of what we're doing this morning. Watch this. I was having a problem getting him to eat the dry dog food that we had. And so the vet told me, you know, if you get some wet food, one of these brands, get one of the wet foods and just take half a can of that and put it in with his dry, and you've probably done the same with your dogs, and mix it together, then he'll learn to eat the dry and you can wean him off that and get to totally dry, which never really happened because he just went nuts over the wet food. I mean, like crazy over the wet food. Maybe your dog's done the same thing. And so what Dion got skilled at doing was this. He would put his nose in his bowl, and even though I had mixed these two ingredients thoroughly, he could, with his nose, push the dry food aside, which was all good, to get and eat out just the wet food and leave the dry food there, which I thought was a talent that should be just mentioned forever. And it made me think of what we're doing this morning. You're going to say, how's that, Mike? You know what? I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love the lights. I love the music. I love the festivities. I love the way people dress. I love the fake snow in the South that comes out of snow machines. I love all of that stuff. But the truth, and I love the Christmas movies, and the truth of the matter is, all of that's good, but it's a lot like the dry dog food. Because what we're doing for these 3 weeks is we're pushing it aside. The star and the this and the that and all the other things. And we're pushing it aside to get to the thing we really need to know. And that's Jesus Christ. What we've been doing is following the lead from John chapter 1 and pushing the other distractions aside and just getting to the thing we need to focus on for Christmas. And that is Jesus Christ. The fact that God came to earth and was born among us. We're pushing everything off and just focusing right there. In fact, we're using John chapter 1 for that very purpose. And you know what? Challenge for you and I over these next 3 weeks is to keep these set of notes, because when we get done next week with point 21 or 22, what you're going to have is a great compendium. What a collection of facts about Jesus without any of the distractions. And I think we as followers of Christ should dive into the Word this serious and look at these words and phrases this serious, that we might know Jesus Christ better. And by the way, the more you study this, the more astonishing it is. And I would say this, the cooler it is just to know these things, that Jesus did this and this is how it went. And John, with a singular purpose, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And here it is laid out so easily for us to see. So with that said, Let me read the scripture for this morning. I'm in John chapter 1, verses 6 to 13. They're on the screen. You can look at your Bible, look at your phone, but follow along with me. John writes this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of human flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray. And as you bow your head right now, would you pray this simple prayer that is a great one to pray, by the way, before you even study the Word on your own? Would you pray right now and ask the Holy Spirit to be the one who teaches you this morning? Would you do that right now in your heart to Him? Lord, teach me your Word this morning. God, pray that way. And our Father, I thank you that you hear our prayer this morning because we truly want to know your Word, because we know that in knowing your Word, we're going to know you. And Father, we want to know you. And how we thank you for Jesus this Christmas season. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Okay, you've got your outline there. Remember what we're doing. I am taking words or phrases from John chapter 1. And those words or phrases about Jesus or related to Jesus are just the point. And I could just give you the point and move on with just a little bit of explanation because I've got so many points, there's not enough time to talk about everything. But you'll see as this goes how exciting it is. And this morning, we start with point number 6 from verse 6, and it's about John the Baptist. Look at the scripture. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. He was sent from God. That's the first phrase. You see it on your notes under John the Baptist. He was sent on a mission from God. Somebody who is sent is one who's intentionally sent out with a commission to represent someone else officially. Now listen, this is how God has been working throughout the ages. This is how God's been working before Jesus Christ. That He would choose to, and if I was just to talk casually, if we were sitting around a table having a coffee here, I think I would say this to you. I don't get this. And I'm supposed to know all this stuff, and so are you. I don't know this stuff. Here's what I don't know. I don't understand the why. God chose to work through people. People who would work with other people. Yeah, He'd energize it, make it happen, do the miracle when needed, and et cetera. But you chose people to do this stuff. You chose them back in the Old Testament to do stuff for you that was really dramatic and incredible. Here, you choose John the Baptist to do your stuff, do your work, and you commissioned him and sent him, and this was your plan from the beginning of time, that you would send John the Baptist, a weird duck if ever there was one, eating honey and locusts and out in the wilderness, and you got to be kidding. Him you're going to use? Yeah, he was the one that was going to proclaim Christ. And then as I go forward, I would think God would have learned his lesson by now. And that sounds horrible, but that men fail you all the time. One of them being right here and the rest of them being right there. All right. And guess what? The plan is still the same. God has chosen to use people to proclaim and represent Jesus Christ, to do his will where he's placed them. I don't get that. But I know that that's the method he uses, which is why when we pray, we make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. That's why when we pray, we ask God to energize. We ask God to go in front of us, to go before us, because we realize in just a small measure that God has chosen us to do his work. Oh, are you kidding? I mean, just assess for a moment. You could do so much better. True? He could. But look, John the Baptist is chosen intentionally. He belonged to God. He was sent from God. He was sent on a mission. He had the authority of God to accomplish that mission. Much like something I might say about us, who've been given the great commission by Jesus Christ to go out. The last thing he's saying, the marching orders, the thing you're supposed to be doing, is go make disciples. Go do it. One thing. There it is. We look here. John was sent to proclaim that Jesus Christ was coming. He was on a mission from God in the place with the people that God had put him in touch with. Takes courage to do so, and it's much like the same mission I've been put on by Jesus Christ himself. You be about the mission, you be making disciples. Point number 7, we see John's purpose here. Look in verses 7 and 8. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Point number 7 is John's purpose, or I could have said John's mission. And it's very simple. He was to bear witness about the light. By the way, let's take a step back for just a moment. Same mission I have, to bear witness about the light. John had it. I've got it. Same thing. And then look at this phrase here in verse number 7, that all might believe through him. That sounds, believe through him. That sounds like my purpose too. I always thought my purpose was that I was going to preach. Let's get personal for just a moment, okay? I always thought that it was my job to preach. Yes or no? Maybe not. Is it your job to preach? Maybe not. John the Baptist to preach? Maybe not. No. The reality is it was to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. It was not to preach, but to lead others to believe on the light. You got scriptures in front of you. Matthew 11:11, Jesus said about John that among all that were born, none was greater than John the Baptist. What a statement by Jesus Christ about his cousin. Then in John 1:27, later in this chapter, John the Baptist says this, that he was not worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. Interesting combination here. And John the Baptist, apparently in the wilderness, had quite a following of people. So much so you can read in the history books that people would go out from the villages and the towns to listen to John the Baptist outside of town in the wilderness, telling them about the light, Jesus, who really hadn't become Jesus yet. He was probably still a very young man. And he was talking about this one that was coming from God. Now listen carefully to this. The fact behind this is, John the Baptist was doing that, fulfilling the mission God put him on. The people were going out to do it. Now listen very carefully. And a dynamic now we get from the history books started to take place. And the dynamic was this, that people started following John the Baptist. The idea was that the people that followed John the Baptist, then when Jesus came, would naturally go on to Jesus. But it didn't happen in everybody's case. The history books record the fact that John the Baptist had a following, and apparently after Jesus, a number of those people went to be with Jesus, leaving John the Baptist, but a number of them stayed and continued to perpetuate the same message. So much so, this is for those of you who want to do the deeper dig right here, so much so that a lot of people think that John the Apostle, now in 85-90 AD, this many years later after the death of Christ, was putting this in so that the followers of John the Baptist could see this was the place John the Baptist had. And that was the place, not the place of Jesus. Come over and believe in Jesus Christ. Interesting for those of you, us that study the scripture, that we would see this. And notice that he was to be a witness. A witness means to testify to the facts. And the key here being that John was going to go to these people as God uses people to win people. And now you see John is testifying about the fact of Jesus Christ, the light. And now we get back to some blowaway stuff. Point number 8. Look at verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone. And here's the phrase. It gets no highlight in anybody's Bible or anybody's scripture. Look at the end of this verse 9. Was coming into the world. Do you get that? Was coming into the world. It is point number 8. Jesus was coming to earth. We talked about it last week. The perfect fellowship of Jesus Christ with God the Father. They were one. When did they actually get together and become one? We don't know, but from all time going back, they were. Remember, eternity for us, we always think future. Future, new heaven, new earth, new working for Jesus, new body, new stuff, new environment, healthy all the time and young and vibrant. This is perfect, new, we're going that way. But what we forget is this, eternity also goes the other direction. So now, way back, further than you could ever think, and then there back, which now I can't even understand this, way back before time began, God the Father and Jesus were completely together, Holy Spirit, the three of them, the triune and the Trinity. They were one God enjoying this perfect fellowship, whatever that was. Jesus Christ leaves that, and you and I complain when we have to take the dog out when it's raining. And we don't like that, because we're going to go out and slosh around in the yard and wait for the dog to do his business. By the way, another Dion story here. Got to hold on to it, all right? Dion would not go out in the rain. Dion would be in the house with me, and he'd look at me, and he'd go, Master, because I insisted he call me Master. And he'd say, Master, and he kind of crossed his legs. He said, I really got to go. I'm like, okay, well, since I can't teach you how to use the bathroom, come on, I'll take you outside. I'd open the garage door, and I'd get him in the garage, and the rain is teeming down. Just horrible rain. And he would put his nose out and realize it's raining and put his head back. And he'd stand there and look at me and say, I don't got to go anymore. I said, no, you got to go. Get out there. And so I would try to shove him out into the rain. He wouldn't go. So then I found out how to make him go. You're going to love this. And finally I ended up how to teach him to go on command, which was pretty cool. Taught all my kids the same thing. No, just kidding with that, okay? I went in my golf bag and got my big umbrella. You know how big those things can get, right? And so I held it kind of low over Dion. And I would walk him into the yard. You can picture me doing this. And I don't know how many neighbors looked out their window and giggled at the goofy guy across the street doing this. But I would get low with the dog like this. And as long as his head was covered with the umbrella, he thought he wasn't getting wet. Tail and everything else getting soaked. Didn't matter. And we'd go out like that. And he would do his business. And I came up with a phrase that I can't tell you here. But I came up with a phrase that would mean go. And he would go on command. And it went that way the rest of his life. So we'd hop out there and say, Dion, go. Whatever, and Dion would go do it, and then when it was done, we'd walk back into the garage, and Dion was a happy camper. And I, for those of you who know me, my wife's in there, she may have done it herself a few times, but the fact is that's how we trained our dog. And you know what? I complain about getting wet. I complain when it's not 75 degrees. I complain when, and figure in the rest of it makes me uncomfortable. Joke. The God of the universe, the creator of the universe, in perfect fellowship in the triune God of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, leaves that position to come and be born on this earth as a baby, to be here for us, among us. And point eight is this. Jesus was coming to earth. That's what John was saying. The God of the universe was born as a baby on this earth. Forget the Christmas cards. I've gotten two or three like you. I don't get any more. One's a cute little manger. One's got a star. One's got a bunch of angels singing. The angels didn't sing. Read your Bible. It says they proclaimed. We just covered this to the worship team the other night. Okay. Fact of the matter is this. Is put that aside. Push it aside. The God of the universe was coming to live in a human body on this earth. That is the blow-away concept. The incarnation is the blow-away concept of the New Testament. And John blows by it here and just basically says he's coming to earth. This is a big deal. This deserves parades. This deserves a special holiday. Oh, they've got one. It's called Christmas. But you know what? All the dry dog food has gotten in on top of Christmas. So now it's stars. And it's angels, and let's not forget the cute cow in the barnyard of the manger. Everybody's got one or two. Let's not forget the shepherds who carry sheep around their necks. I would too. It was probably cold. Them sheep are probably warmer. This is great. And let's not forget the three kings, because we all know the Bible talks about three kings coming to the manger. True or false? False. Years later, we don't know how many, they were magi, we're not exactly sure, blah, 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 and could have come in an entourage of hundreds of people and support personnel. What a track, and you wonder why when they came in, the government officials noticed them. It wasn't three guys traipsing along going, there's where the star goes, let's go that way, okay, good. It wasn't that way. These are smart, learned men. The big deal is this, push all the dry dog food aside, okay? We're talking about Jesus Christ. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. The blowaway concept, if you get nothing else, is that Jesus Christ has come to earth. Jesus Christ came to earth. And if you want to get personal and selfish about it, Jesus Christ came to earth for me. You want to have a worship time? Forget about everybody else. Be selfish for a moment. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, came to earth for me. You say that to yourself, it will lead you into worship of Him like you've never had before. Point number nine. I told you this go by quick. And it's in verse 9, it says this, that Jesus was the true light. In fact, I didn't want to be flippant about this, but you want to hear what I put in my notes here? Jesus is the true light to everyone, for those who believe and those who do not believe. I'm not sure you know that or not. Jesus is the light to people who believe, and he's also the light to people who don't believe. On your notes, there's a little bit of space there to take a couple of these tidbits down. I just put a few down for you can help think this through. As the true light, Jesus, whether you know it or not, reveals God to man. That's a big deal. The word that the theologians would say is this, that Jesus exegetes God to man, meaning he explains God to us. He makes clear God to us. He reveals God to man. He also does this as the true light. Jesus reveals the future. He exposes sin. He details salvation. He details spiritual life. Jesus reveals those things as well. Just get a few tidbits down. It's worth it. On top of that, he gives us a guide and a way out of our sinful ways as he exposes darkness for what it is and the results of darkness. Let me keep going. He also gives us a guide for how to honor God, how to live this new life, how I can actually, now look at me right here. I want you to see this illustration. I have captured myself for you, and it's hard to believe that I captured a caricature of myself. And here it is. Are you ready? In the universe, this is me. I'm exaggerating a lot, okay? It's really like that. But let's just say, in the whole universe, this is me. And if I were to let you make comments about that without getting funny, you'd go, yeah, Mike, that's about how tall you are. Yeah, Mike, that's okay, you get the idea. But when you've done all that stuff, you go, Mike, that's pretty small. I say, hold on, I'm not done. It's probably really this is what I am in the universe. It's so small a margin, you can't even see that. I am nothing. And Jesus comes, and Jesus shows Mike, who is this big in the universe. Truth of the matter is, I could disappear from the universe, nobody would know. I mean, the people on Mars and Pluto, they would never know that I'm gone, all right? Most of the people in our country, 99.999% of them, wouldn't even know I'm gone. And the other one, whatever percent, point, whatever, wouldn't know either or care. Here's Mike. He's really insignificant in the whole cog of things, all right? You understand that? And you're the same size, by the way. And Jesus shows me, listen to this, how I can glorify God. How this little speck of Mike can glorify the God of the universe. And he makes it clear to me in this new spiritual life how I can glorify him. And you would never think that this little thing called Mike could glorify God. But Jesus shows me how to do that as he does it himself. That's another blowaway concept from here that you really need to make note of. Point number 10, and it comes from verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Other verses, especially on this, read Hebrews chapter 1, that talks about Jesus Christ as the Creator. But look at it here. Yet the world did not know him. Point number 10. The world didn't know him. How could that be? Jesus was rejected by the very world that he created. You read in Romans chapter 1, you see it in your notes. It talks about the fact that the creation is so fantastic that it speaks of the fact that it's the glory of God. It's showing you who created it. You know what's amazing to me? I've ever been to a fancy art museum. I mean, where people dress up and do all kinds of stuff with artwork. And I've done that myself, New York, Chicago, other places. You go in one of these fancy museums, and they've got a picture on the wall. And every so often this happens to me. And I see a picture, and I stare at it. And I don't want to use their terms, but I think you're going to know what I say when I say it. Something about that picture speaks to me. Something about that picture just captures me. There's one right now, I wouldn't even tell you where it's from. There's one right now the past couple of years that has just captured me. If you ask me privately, I'll tell you about it. But there's one that just captured me, the genius of the artist to do this. And I look at the picture about how fantastic it is, this painting and etc. And immediately I turn around to you, who's with me at the museum, and say, that's fantastic. Look at the skill of the person who drew that. Look how great that is. That picture inspires me. Okay, we all understand that. I didn't say anything revolutionary there. But the funny thing is that we can go to who knows what in the world, creation-wise, see some fantastic things in nature, even a storm itself, a fantastic thing in nature, and are not quick to say this, boy, look what he did. Look what he did. And we'll look for every geological reason why there's a ravine here or a canyon. We'll look for every other reason to explain how the earth got so pretty. But we won't say this, that God did this to bring glory upon himself. And Romans 1 says that the creation speaks of God and points man toward God. But it did not happen. Here's verse 10. They did not know him and they reject him. And here's why I say Jesus Christ is the light to those who know him and those who don't. Because in Philippians chapter 2, it says this, that those who knew him, their knees will bow before him. Doesn't it say that in Philippians 2? No. What does it say? Philippians 2 says that at the name of Jesus Christ, who will bow? Ah, light to those who know him and those who don't. Every knee will bow and acknowledge who he is in the universe. Spectacular verses. Let's keep going. Number 11 here. You'll see in verse 11 that he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. His own people rejected him. God, who had chosen this ragtag group called Israel, one of the least desirable people groups in the Old Testament, and he chooses them to display his power and his glory. And guess what? Those people, their land, their people, those people God had chosen, the ones he selected to display his power to all creation, that group of people rejected him. And it made such an imprint that Jesus was rejected by his own people that when we get to Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching in Jerusalem. And when Peter is preaching in Jerusalem, he hits on this very fact and says, and by the way, this is a gutsy move in that audience because he was speaking to the Jewish people there and he basically points the finger at them and says, and you people crucified him. I would have said that as I was on a horse speeding out of town, okay? But he just did it like that and let them know you folks were the ones that rejected the Messiah. Point number 12, and it's from verses 12 and 13 here. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Interesting expression. Who were born not of blood, because we understand how regular babies are made, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born in a whole different way. Born of God. Point 12. Receive Jesus, receive life. Jesus said in John chapter 6, look at your notes there. Jesus said that if you come to me, he will not cast you out. You have to understand what this word receive means. Because this word receive has got a whole bunch of definitions that I really like. If you're taking notes, here it goes. This receive means to take hold of. I get that. It means to obtain a strong grasp on or a hard grip on something. This was more than intellectual knowledge. This was actually grasping it and holding on to it and actually believing and trusting in his name. John continues to run with this theme in the next chapter, talking about believing in his name. He keeps bringing up believing in his name. Listen, believing in his name. Believing in his name goes far. It's one of those roots that goes like this, deeper and deeper. Listen to what this means. It means believing in his actions. It means believing in his thoughts. It means believing in his purposes. To believe in the totality of who he is and what he has done. That's what we're grasping. We're grasping a belief in Jesus Christ. And we are receiving the entire personhood of Jesus. Not just what he said, but what he did, what he taught, what his purpose was. We're receiving and grasping that. And when you do, the promise here, look at the words. You get the right, the power, the authority to become a child of his. And that word become that's used there means to be something that you're not. It's a radical concept of change. And no other place do you go to in the world where there is God portrayed as the change agent in your life. Nowhere else do you go in the world where you're talked about the fact that you get to actually be a child of the deity of God. Get it? Nowhere else are you talked about where you actually become his child under his wings for his care. Nobody else talks that way. And it's not human flesh and blood being born. It's a new birth and born God's way, which means it's going to have the permanence of God forever. Now, what I want to do right now is take a little break. You see at the very end of your notes there, you're all sitting at a table and you can all turn and look at each other for just a couple of minutes. If you've really become a child of God like this and truly receive Jesus, receive Jesus is not this. Bow your head, close your eyes, and pray this prayer after me and receive Jesus into your heart. That's just a part of it. Receiving Jesus is the entire personhood of Jesus. Deeper stuff here that you need to grasp. Oh, by the way, I'm still about the business of grasping in my life the person of Jesus. You should still be about the business yourself of grasping Jesus in your life. And you know how you can prove that's taking place? Watch this. Years ago, I wouldn't have given you 2 cents for a neighbor that I had. Wouldn't have given you 1 cent for this neighbor I had. You ever dislike somebody? Have you? Be honest. You do. I disliked somebody, and I should have disliked them because they were evil, and I was good. Just I throw that in case you didn't know that. And so the point of the matter is, I let the Holy Spirit work on me. And it's happened a few times in my life where I just really didn't like somebody. Stayed away from them, talked nasty about them, et cetera, et cetera. And the Holy Spirit, as I continue to grasp Jesus Christ, let me know that that didn't fit in my life. That's not the fruit I was to be bearing. In fact, I was to be doing something else. And got convicted and changed that attitude, and in one case became very good friends with the person that I hated for years. I say that to say this. That shows you that the grip is still taking place. And the receiving of Mike, of Jesus Christ, continues. There have been initial steps, and now we're down the road a bit, but I continue to receive that life that he is, that person that he was, the things he said, the things he did, etc. And I'm becoming more like them. That's the process called spiritual growth. I'd like you at your table, if you would take a minute and do this for me, and we can turn the recording off now, Mr. Recorder. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ. Father, it's not the Christmas season that overwhelms us so much, although we do like the lights and the songs and stuff. But Father, it's your Son. It's Jesus. We keep putting the spotlight on him because that's where it belongs this time of year. It's about the fact that you came to earth in the form of a baby. It's about the fact that you are that involved in us, with us, the fact that you would redeem us. Father, I pray for us here this morning as we're still in the business of receiving and grasping the whole personhood of Jesus. And Father, we open ourselves even more to you, that we would grow in the deepest parts of our souls as we truly come to grips with who Jesus was and what he said and what he taught and what he's leading us to do. And Father, as we do that, we know that we'll be more of an influence for your Son with the people and the places that you've strategically placed us in. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.